Good morning. If you're smelling the food from the potluck, be encouraged. We're going to look at two verses today, so we'll be out of here before noon. Why don't we pray and then we'll read together. God, we thank you because you are so good to us. Thank you that you have blessed us with this time to come together, and thank you for the snow and the beauty that you put on display in your creation and the variety of how you make things look. You are so wonderful to us. And God, now as we open this book and we listen to your word, I pray, God, that you would remind us of how good you are, and that your goodness would lead us to repentance, would lead us to hear your voice in your word and surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are looking at the book of Colossians, and before we look at the two verses that we're going to look at today, we have to start where we stopped a couple of weeks ago, because it flows into, there's a so then, so it flows into each other. So look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read real quick, 1 through 5, and this is what we're seeing in this is Paul's desire for these people, the Apostle Paul's desire that these people would know God, and they would be close to God, and they would be God's children, and they would finish their race well, and they would love Jesus and grow in their faith, and all of these things. He was desiring their eternal good, and what we said when we looked at that is his desire should be our desire for ourselves and for other people. We should desire other people's eternal good more than anything. So start there, and then we'll go on and talk. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness of your faith in Christ. He says, I want you to be God's children and to be faithful and to continue and to grow in your love and your unity and to know more of, to learn more and more of Christ's mind, of God's mind, how he thinks and what his thoughts are, and to be more like Jesus and to not be deceived. I want all of that for you. That's what Paul's saying here. The problem that we have with that are in actual real life practice, like the way it works itself out in our lives, is that we tend to start well and then kind of falter in the continuing. We continue to, if you start following Jesus, it's easy to start, but then once you start, it's even much easier to continue, but kind of just leveling off, you know, and without the enthusiasm and the energy that you had at the beginning. It's like, yeah, now I do the Christian thing, and that's who I am, but I don't feel like I felt, you know, when I came out of the water. And then people will be, you know, nice enough to tell you, well, don't expect that to last. I mean, that's just then, you know, that'll die down, and then you'll just become like a normal Christian after that, which, as we're going to see in the verse today, I don't think is right. I don't think that's biblical counsel. See, we start well at the beginning with enthusiasm and all, but then it's hard to continue. It doesn't seem to be natural to continue with that same level of enthusiasm. In fact, if you think about it, can't you think of a lot of people who have started their faith, that you've seen them come out of here, and then you look around and they're not here. And it's not because they moved. It's because they've moved away from Jesus. They're not following him anymore. Or we follow, but we don't follow with that same enthusiasm. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because we know the answers. It's because there's temptations. There's things that seduce us and carry us away from God. Or there's moments of discouragement. And maybe you hear this and you say, yeah, that's not just a moment. That's my life. I'm there. I understand that. I know what it's like to kind of be leveled off, and I don't have any excitement, but I go through the spiritual routine. I go to church on Sundays, and I do the stuff, and I say the right things, and I do what I'm supposed to do, but it's almost like my daily life is kind of just Well, that's the main thing that I do, the demands and the tasks and the stuff I got to do. It's almost like that just that takes center stage, and there isn't really a lot of time or energy to be all excited about Jesus and to, you know, to do anything other than just the normal Christian routine. This is something that affects us whether we're Christians or we still haven't made that decision. If you're on this side of making the decision to becoming a Christian, you maybe say, okay, I feel that I there's moments when I feel like pulled. I feel like maybe I'm singing a song or I'm praying or I'm thinking about my life or I'm reading the Bible or I'm listening to a mess. Something's happening and it's like I'm being pulled. It's like I know I need to make that decision. I could see myself getting baptized. I know I need to do that, but I don't know if that feeling that I have right now, will that continue? What is that going to be like? And then I see like what I've been saying, those people who start and stop, and I don't want to be that person. So how do I continue afterwards? Maybe I just should wait for a minute to see if this lasts, even before I make that decision. And if you're already a Christian, if you're on this side of making that decision, you know what it's like, because when we're honest, we know it doesn't feel like it did at the beginning. I don't have the same enthusiasm. I could think back in my life, and there were moments when it was crystal clear, and I felt just psyched and enthused and happy about it. But then the Christian routine just kind of comes in, and I do read my Bible, and I do go to church, and I do the right stuff, but it doesn't feel like it did before, and maybe I'm just kind of condemned to continue in that way and just eke out a nominal Christian existence. Truth is, we tend to finish our Christian walk different than how we start. Whether we start with enthusiasm and then we leave, or we start with enthusiasm and we continue, but there's not a lot of passion and enthusiasm left. You know how you know that the passion's died down? Remember, like when you became a Christian and that's like all you could talk about, and you told people about Jesus and other people would listen to you sometimes, sometimes not, but you talked about it. And then, you know, the passion is not there as much when you say, when is the last time I just like couldn't contain myself from talking to this, my non-Christian friend about Jesus? When was that? It's when we don't talk about it as much. That's a sign the passion's not there. It's different than it was. And the thing is, when you look at what Paul wanted for them in the first five verses, what we just read, I think it's clear it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be this Christian walk with Jesus. It doesn't have to be something we start with enthusiasm and then that person helpfully tells us, well, don't worry, this we won't last, and you're not going to be this psyched up about God forever. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that way, because what Paul is describing is an ever-increasing kind of knowing more and being more and loving more and being more like Christ and being closer to Christ. And it's a growing thing. It's a more thing. It's not a less thing. It's not a this will pass. It won't always be like that. Well, it is, but it won't be less, though. It'll be more. That's what Paul is describing in those verses. And then if you look past in history and times past, even starting with Paul, There's a long line of people who follow Jesus with passion their whole life, and they've grown in their faith, and it's not just died down into a normal Sunday kind of trudgery thing. It's a passionate thing that goes through their whole life, and they're more and more committed to Jesus at the end of their life than at the beginning. The people who have changed the world with the gospel, and I think the message of this text that we're going to see today is we can be with that group of people. We can be with the people whose passion and enthusiasm doesn't go down, but rather goes up. So how do we do that? How do we not throw in the towel? And how do we continue to follow with enthusiasm? Look at verse 6. It's a really short verse before I read it, but this is a key verse. Look at the logic in it. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. See, he's going to tell them how to continue and persevere and mature, how to achieve what he's saying he wants for them in the first five verses. He's going to tell them how to do it. How do you get to the end happy and enthusiastic and more on fire. That was the word that when I, you know, when I was kind of became conscious, I don't know, I was maybe 10 or 12, I don't know. That was kind of the adjective. There's like on fire Christians, and I guess the opposite of that would be not, I don't know. I don't, but that, how do you get to the end like a burning ember of enthusiasm about your faith and closer and closer to Jesus, and you can't put this book down and you can't wait until you see him face to face, and death then becomes something that doesn't just completely freak us out, but something that we say, I can't wait until I see him. How do we begin in that way? This text tells us how to, and if this morning you're listening to this and you haven't made your decision to follow Jesus, you're not a Christian yet, you hear this, and this will tell you how you can not only start, but finish well. And if you're a Christian, man, this text is the key for us to continue our faith tomorrow, today, for the rest of our lives, the way we started at the beginning, with the same and even more enthusiasm. So look at the first word. He says, therefore. That's the connection piece. This is what I want for you, to be growing in your faith. So because I want that, then do this. So this is the application. He's saying, because I want your eternal good, then do this. And what he's going to say is, the same way that you started, that's how you continue. That's the big idea from this text. The same way that you start is the way you continue. The way that you start is the way you continue. Keep going the way that you started. Look at the first phrase, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. So stop there. I said, okay, I want you to be growing. I want you to be enthusiastic. I'm paraphrasing, you know, the first five verses, but it's that. I want that for you. So if you're going to get that, if you're going to be that person, okay, the same way that you started. So how did you receive Jesus as Lord? Well, I repented and was baptized. So is that like a daily thing? Do I get? Yeah. We have enough chlorine for that? I don't. How does that work? What is he saying? As you receive Jesus as Lord, how do you receive Jesus as Lord? Isn't okay? I want it one word. I want it one thing because I like one idea and one application. The problem is this is not a one word thing. It's kind of a process. If you're a Christian, you know that. It's how did I become a Christian? How did I get to the point where I received Jesus? That's a process. Yes, there is a moment, a decision where I go from darkness to light when I repented and baptized, but how did I get to that moment? How did that work? How did the process work? Well, if you have a pen, write this down if you want to. Otherwise, just try to remember it. I'm going to repeat it, but okay, doesn't it start by you have to hear God's word? You have to hear God. Faith comes by hearing. You don't become a Christian without hearing. You hear the message of the gospel. You hear about Jesus and God and who you are, and you, lights start going off. And then what happens? The second one, you have to confess something. You have to confess. You realize how bad you are. And as good as we would like to think we are, the more that we hear God's word, the more that I realize I'm not nearly as good as I think I am. So we have to confess. We have to confess our sinfulness. We have to recognize. We have to kill our pride and say, I'm a bad person. I'm a rebellious person. I rebelled against the King of the universe. I'm a rebel. I'm not a good person at my core. I'm a bad person at my core. I've rebelled against the King of the universe. We have to confess that. We have to own that. If you're a Christian, you didn't get there without recognizing I am a worthless, and we sing it over and over every week. It's I'm a, in who I am without God. I'm a worthless rebel. I know that's not a line we sing, but it could be. Just, you know, if you're a songwriting type, we hear God's word. We confess our wickedness, our rebellion, and we have to repent. We have to turn and say, I'm going to turn away from my rebellion, and I'm going to turn to God. So part of that is it's this mental decision that I'm going to surrender to Him. He's going to be the King of me. And when you repent for the first time, as you're becoming a Christian, part of that decision is not just making it with your mind and your heart; it's making it with your whole body. You're immersed in water. That's why it says you repent and are baptized. That baptism is part of the decision to make Jesus Lord. It's a combo. It's a mental and a heart decision, and it's a whole body decision. You repent and you're baptized. We we decide, I'm going to reject my rebellion. I'm going to turn and accept that God is the one who gets to tell me what to do. So we hear and we confess, or we recognize our badness, but we confess, I'm wicked. And then we repent. We decide to turn, and the first time through, the part of that decision is being baptized in water. And then last part of it, we have to surrender. We have to live out that repentance. It's not enough to tell God, okay, you're the boss of me, I'll leave my rebellion. We actually have to live that out. We have to make radical decisions. Remember, if you're a Christian, remember when you became a Christian? Remember there were some radical decisions that whoever walked you, explained the gospel to you, helped you see? It's like you're living with your boyfriend. If you're going to surrender to Jesus, you have to not just decide that he's going to be the king of your life. You have to walk away from that relationship. You have to walk away from the sin or whatever. You know, just put whatever sin there was for you. But there's always something. There's always something that as part of turning to Jesus, you have to walk away from. As I used to find my happiness in alcohol, but now I'm going to live that decision out that Jesus is the boss of me, and I'm going to find my happiness in him. Whatever the decision is for you, whatever that sin was in your life that you had to walk away from, you had to surrender, you had to live that out. So we hear and we confess and we repent, and then we surrender. That's how we received Christ. And he says, so as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That so means in the same way. Same way that you receive Jesus, continue walking in him. How do you live out the Christian life? How do you be a person who's ever growing and more excited about your faith and is closer to God and feels the connection with the Spirit? When you read the Bible, it's like God is talking to you. It's not just this dry thing and that you make yourself do once a month. Or how does it become real? How does singing to Jesus become something that you wait for all week, because we get to come together and sing, and it's even better than me singing in my car to Jesus. It's all of us together, as opposed to some weird thing where like people are singing at the front of the room. But how does it become? How do you grow? You continue the way you started. And that is the heart of our problem, because we start one way. We hear, we recognize and confess our wickedness, we repent and we turn from our sin and turn to God, and then we start leaving some stuff behind. And then once we get in a good kind of Christian groove and we look pretty acceptable on the outside, and now you're a Christian, so I guess I don't need to study with you because you've already become a Christian, and you've left that one big or two, three or four big, you know, ugly sin things that, you know, everybody could see and that you knew were wrong, and now you're kind of, well, you're in a good place. Well, I guess the next thing is just come next week, I guess, and then the week after that, and you know, see you someday in heaven. I guess that's how it works. We start by going through these steps and listening to God and seeing how bad we are, and then turning to him more and making a decision and definitive decision and leaving stuff behind. But then we continue just kind of by living a normal life, almost a better version of the life that we would have lived if we weren't a Christian. We almost just kind of like find a little place for God, and it tends to be a Sunday place, and then we go back to our normal life after that, and we start being our own boss again, and we just know the things that, you know, we can't do. But other than that, it's kind of free reign. I got to do what I want to do, except for the really bad stuff. And then I follow God, but it's almost like just out of routine and without passion and doing the same things over and over again. And Paul says, don't do that. The same way you received Christ, that's how you continue in him. Continue in the same way that you received him. The way you started is the way you continue. So how did we start? That's how we continue. We listen. That's why we read this. That's why we talk, come together and talk about this book. That's why we say, don't let this be the only time that you let God speak to you through this book this week. Read this every day. Read it when you get up and when you go to bed. It's almost like when you rise up and when you lie down and when you walk by the way. It's like, talk about this. Listen to God. Let God talk to you. If you have a minute over lunch, put Facebook aside for just a second, and it'll still be there. And open up YouVersion on your phone, or pull out even like a real Bible, and YouVersion is a real Bible. And read God's word. Let God talk to you. We listen to God. And then as we listen, what do we see? I'm not the person that I should be. We see the difference between Jesus and me. And so then God, when we read the word, it's living and active, which means that God, it doesn't change every time we read it, but God shows us stuff in us. He peels back our hearts and he says, this is how you're being selfish today. This is how you're being prideful right now. This is how you're making an idol out of that thing that you're going after. This is how you're being absolutely unchristlike to your spouse or to your child. This is how you are being, you're not representing me. You're not working for my glory at your job. I don't know what you're doing today. You're not being like Jesus. He pulls it, as we read this, he pulls us open and he shows us our wickedness. And so then in the same way that when we came to Christ, we listen to him, and then we confess and we repent. We confess to ourselves. I'm being prideful. We confess to others. We confess to God, but we confess. We say, I recognize my sin. I'm not the good person that I really hope people think I am on Sundays. I'm much worse than even I want to admit. And we confess our sin. So we listen, and then we confess, and then we're called to repent. The Christian life, a great theologian once said, is a life of continual repentance. We're called to repent over and over and over again, which means as I read and then I see God shows me through his spirit how bad I am in this moment, then I'm called to leave that behind. I'm called to believe the truth of the gospel and believe that what he's telling me is true about him and about me, and I'm called to change. I'm called to make another decision, not to jump back in the water. That's a one-time thing. You cross from the kingdom of darkness to light in one moment, in one time. But I'm called to make a definitive decision that I'm not going to be like this right now. We're called to decide again. And then we're called to surrender after that decision. And for the rest of the day, live out the decision we made that God called us to when we read, when we heard, and then when we confessed, and then when we repented and said, I'm going to turn from my sin, from this sin, and turn to the Savior. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's hearing, and then it's seeing our sin, and then it's making that decision over and over and over again. I'm going to turn from the sin that I see in me today in this moment. I'm going to turn from the sin to my Savior. I'm going to turn from my sin to the Savior. I'm going to repent time and time again. And then after deciding that and hearing that, I'm going to live out. It's not going to be worldly repentance. It only makes me sad because I see how bad I am. It's going to actually be repentance that brings life, because I'm going to change in the minutes and hours after that. And that's what we have to repeat over and over and over again. And if you say, that sounds like a lot of work, it is. But the rewards are incredible. Look at the next verse. It says, if we receive Christ one way, we walk the same way in him, day after day after day. And then look at what he says. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He's telling us what happens. See, this, the command is in verse 6. Verse 7 is the result. If I continue in Christ the way that I entered, by reading and then confessing and then repenting and then living out that repentance by surrendering, he says you're going to be rooted in Jesus. You're going to have deep roots built up in Christ. You're going to have roots that no matter what comes against you, you're going to be strong. You're not going to walk away from Jesus. You're going to have a deep and abiding joy and love and peace and faith and trust in God. You're going to be rooted in him, and you're going to be built up. You're not going to be a shallow Christian that when things change and you're just a different person every day, you're a different person here, and then tomorrow you're a different person, and you're a different person on Saturday when you go out with your friends. You'll be the same person because you're built up into that person. God makes you new when you're in Christ, but listen, continuing in the same way that you started, God uses that day after day after day to build you up to where you are more and more like Jesus. And then look at the last part, established in the faith. It's not going to be something that, I'm not sure, I'm a Christian today, I hope I am tomorrow. It's a doubts are removed, and you're secure because you continue in the same way that you started, and the more that you do that over and over and over again, you know what you believe, you know what you're, the way you're living, you're sure of the gospel, you're sure of your relationship with God, you're sure of the reality of that God actually is real, and that you're His child, and the Spirit is in you because you know it, because you're experiencing it day after day as you read His Word and listen to Him and confess your sin and turn from your sin to Him, and then His Spirit gives you strength to walk away from it as you surrender to Him over and over and over again. That's how we continue, and that's how we're built up and rooted and established in our faith. That's how we finish well. He says, just as you were taught. Don't again, that's a reference back to verse 6. It's in the same way that you started, keep going. But the same thing that you were taught, keep on with that. Keep going in the same thing that you received. It's not always looking for something new. There's not, if you listen, like, no matter where we're at in the Bible on Sunday mornings, Paul's letters, the Gospels, Old Testament, it's like the same thing. You could pick out, you know, if you just kind of say, what's the big idea this week, and you just kind of compile them all, there's like 5 big ideas, maybe 3. There's not a lot of big ideas. The Gospel is really simple. It's God made us in His image to reflect His glory. I'm a horrible person because I've rebelled against Him and I deserve His wrath, but in Christ I could be a new creation. That's what I was taught, and that's what I'm to continue on in as I listen to God and confess and turn from my sin and turn to the Savior and then surrender and live that decision out time and time and time again. If you say, why are you repeating that same thing over and over again? It's because that's what we repeat over and over again every day if we're going to continue as we started. And look at how it ends. This is what happens when we live that way, abounding in thanksgiving. How do we be just full of thanksgiving to God? Well, it's because as we follow Jesus, and we listen to Him, and we turn from our sin, and we see Him work in us to make us more like Him, and then we listen to Him, and we turn from our sin, and we become more like Him. And as we do that over and over and over and over again, we're filled with gratitude, because the more that we listen to God and surrender to Him, the more that we experience His presence, and the more that we experience this reality of His grace, and the more that I see my wickedness, the more that I'm conscious of how incredible it is that the Father loves me and forgives me. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. The more that I determine to surrender to Him and turn away from my sin, the more that I see the Spirit work in me, and I see God's power flow through me as I'm able to actually have victory over some of those sins, and it's incredible, and I'm filled with gratitude. The more that we are with Him, the more we receive from Him, the more that we know about Him, the more thankful that we are. This is as much a side effect as it is a command, abounding in thanksgiving. It's what happens when we follow Jesus in the same way that we received Him initially. So what do we do? This is one of those, this whole thing was the application. We should start following Jesus and then continue in the same way. So if you're not a Christian and you've come in today, and when I talked at the beginning about the doubts, that it's like, I don't know if I could, I feel sometimes like I should become a Christian, but I don't know if I could continue. And then I see other people and they kind of level off, and I don't want that. And I see other people, they walk away, I don't want that. Well, this passage today is for you, because it tells you, you can start and then you can continue and you can grow ever closer to Jesus, and you can be one of those people that when you're on your very, very, very final days on this earth, you can be even closer to Jesus and happier in Him than you are even after you become a Christian and come out of the water. So today is a call for you to say, I want to start. I want to repent and be baptized. I want to, in that moment, accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And in this community, when you feel that desire and you say, I'm ready to make that decision, just tell someone and you can do that. And if you're a Christian already, then the message for us is even more direct. It's continue in the same way that you started. So every day, moments of temptation, that's where the Spirit was working on me this week. It was these two things. It was in moments when I was being tempted, especially just with thoughts and feelings, and in moments of discouragement. It's okay, how did I start? How did I receive Jesus? Well, I listened to him. So whether I'm remembering in my mind because I'm doing something else and I can't open a Bible, I'm remembering, what does the Bible say about this, what I'm struggling with or what I'm thinking about or what's bugging me? Or I open the Bible and I listen. Either way, as I listen to God, then I confess. I confess my sin because I see my wickedness. And I repent and I say, God, I'm going to decide to turn from that and turn to you and accept once again the reality that you give me in the gospel. I'm going to turn from this specific sin. And then after that, we surrender and we live that out. And we do that over and over and over again. As you received Christ, so walk in him. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so very good. Thank you for not just giving us a path to you, but giving us a path to walk in as we are in you, and hope that we can, and the promise that we can grow and know and feel and experience more and more of your presence and of your power. And God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who continue in the same way we started. Help us to be a people who always listen to you. And through your Spirit and your Word, God, show us our sin every day, over and over and over again, and then give us the conviction to turn from that sin, and then the power through your Spirit to walk away from it, to walk away and to be different. Help us to be excited about knowing you and about seeing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.